The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
When you work on Wall Street, it's cutthroat business, so you have to be mean to get ahead. You have to be a hard person, cynical, angry, relentless, very focused on yourself. When I felt this good, I said, if it feels like this to be in my drawer, I'm going to stay the whole week. I knew enough from my childhood that I had to go to confession before I could, you know, participate in the Mass fully. And so I went to the church to find a priest. And I knew, you know, it was a 20-year confession, so it would have to be, as I say, a very merciful priest. So I looked for somebody in my mind that would look like he would not judge me. And at the end, he absolved me. And then he said these very strange words. He says, I think you have a vocation to be a priest. And I looked at him and said, what? Do you not understand English? Did you not hear the confession? And he said, all things are possible with God. And I said, okay, thank you.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
And that was the voice of Father Dan Rehill. And boy, he's got an amazing story to share. You never know when God's going to call you, right? Maybe you're hearing that voice now. Maybe you pushed it down, right? Maybe God's still reaching out to you. He's got a great story. He was a very successful banker on Wall Street and was renting a house in Italy on the Amalfi Coast for the summer. And somebody suggested to him, as a friend, that he visits Medjugorje. It's a place right now where the Virgin Mary has been appearing reportedly since 1981. And it's right across the Adriatic Sea. And he decided to accompany her, and despite the privileges and luxuries of his job that he had over the years, all the money, all the partying, all the fun, there was still something missing. There was not that sense of fulfillment or peace. And he started having nightmares, which ultimately led him to insomnia, months-long insomnia. And he took this journey to Medjugorje, and you're going to hear his story today. Father Dan Rehill joins me this afternoon. It's a delight to have him with us. Father, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. How you doing?
Well, I am hanging in there. You've come onto my radar in recent weeks, and I followed some of your story. It really is an amazing one. I see how God is using you. I know he's using you also as an exorcist. But could you take us back, share a little bit of your story, if you could? I just see that God always had a plan for you, and it's interesting how he can bring about conversion at any point in our life.
This is true. And, you know, that's true for everybody. It's not just for me. God has a plan for everybody. He doesn't create a person without a plan for their life. The problem for me, and I think for a lot of people, is we don't hear that and we don't believe that. So I was born in 65, just after Vatican II. And, you know, when I was raised in the Northeast, the interpretation of Vatican II was a little wonky. And I remember thinking as a child, even, that many of the priests I encountered didn't really walk the walk. And so I just saw a lot of hypocrisy, and I just made a conscious decision that I didn't want to be part of that. And so I stopped going to church. As we were able to walk to church from my house. So even as kids, it was a different time. Like your kids could go and walk to school, walk to church, and it was safe. You didn't have to worry about them. So I would frequently, especially as a teenager, I would just skip and say I went to church and pretend. But I wanted to be somebody who had money and influence. And while other kids wanted to grow up and be like Roger Staubach or, you know, some famous musician or superhero, I wanted to be Donald Trump, which sounds odd today, given that he's come into the headlines being the president and all in the last decade. But back in the 80s, Donald Trump was like a hero in New York. Yeah. Everybody liked Trump. It wasn't like there was the pros and the cons. Everybody liked Trump. Everything he did turned to gold. Wow. I remember when I was living in the city, the skating rink was broken for years at Wollman. And the city just never fixed it. And it was like every winter would come and go, no skating. And he just said, "When you let me come in and fix it, I'll do it. I'll pay for it. I just want my kids to be able to go."
Wow.
And in a couple of months, he had it fixed. You know, that was the kind of guy he was. So, you know, and it was very flashy, the big building, the shiny building. Everything was, it was very enticing to me. So that was my focus for, you know, my whole young adult life. And after college, made my way into New York City and began working in financial services and did that for like 10 years. And then did a big expansion loan for a PR firm and moved over and ran the sales division of a very just ever-growing company that just seemed to have the Midas touch. So life was pretty easy, and things flowed pretty easy for me. It wasn't that hard. It just came very natural. And for whatever reason, God kept blessing this or letting it happen. Even though I was moving further and further away from him with each year that I continued on this path. So, you know, as you mentioned in the prior to the program in that clip, there came a point where I had pretty much everything I could ever imagined of wanting, you know, and I had just gotten divorced, you know, met beautiful girl in the Hamptons, engaged in Paris, big New York wedding,
wow.
And then a big New York divorce. And now I'm alone and I'm thinking about my life and I'm thinking, why am I not happy? How come I don't have happiness? I have all of this stuff, but I don't have any happiness. And that kind of plagued me. And then I'd have this dream every night, which would wake me up and I couldn't go back to sleep. And in the midst of this, this friend was going over there and to Bosnia. I didn't really know what was going on over there. I, you know, had rented this villa in Amalfi with friends. It wasn't just mine. And, you know, I figured, well, this is going to, it's right across the Adriatic. It has to be just like Italy. It'll have good food, good wine.
Yeah.
And I get there. And of course, it's nothing. It's nothing like Italy.
No,
it's
not.
Little pocket anyway.
Father, before I let you go on, I just want to interject something because I remember in your story, and this is before, I think, your trip to Medjugorje, you were being haunted by a dream, right? I don't remember it exactly. Something about babies drowning around you.
Yes. Yep. Yep. I'm on a bullet train in Europe. And it's going over this big overpass, and the bridge collapses, and the train dives down into the water. And I'm under the water, and all these babies are drowning,
wow.
And I can't reach any of them. And then I'd wake up. And to this day, I don't know what it means. I've had several people try to interpret it for me. But anyway, it was the day I booked the trip to go to this place, Medjugorje,
yep.
That's the day the dream stopped.
Wow.
And I knew there was a connection, but I didn't know what it meant.
Wow.
So that got me over there. And of course, this is a place where the Blessed Virgin Mary has been allegedly appearing since 1981,
yeah.
Every day to these six visionaries. And with all sorts of, I mean, now I think only three of them have apparitions every day, but
yeah.
And of course, the church is watching carefully and discerning, is this of God?
Sure.
Is this not of God? And so far, they have not ruled it out.
Right.
So right now, they're saying, go. You can go and experience this, but we haven't made a final ruling. Typically, they don't on something like that until it ends.
Mm-hmm.
And then once it ends, they can look at the body and say, we believe this is or is not. But when it's happening, they generally don't tend to rule on it unless they know for certain it's not of God. So here I am, and it's real, mostly older women, you know, older women praying the rosary, and I'm looking around thinking, I don't belong here, but I was tired, so I decided to spend the night and in the morning make my way out of there. But the oddest of things happens. I wake up the next morning, and I am just filled with the peace of, I call it the peace of God. It's something I've never felt before. I felt almost like that shalom, like everything is right between me and God and the world.
Mm-hmm.
I have no stress. I have no anxiety. I have no anger, shame, guilt, nothing. I just feel really good. And so I think, wow, if it feels like this to be here, I'm staying as long as I can. And naturally, I knew if I'm going to be going to Mass, I have to go to confession. It's been 20 plus years. That's when I make my way to the over to the church to look for a priest. I was thinking I wanted to go to somebody who would be pretty gentle on me because it was going to be a pretty salty confession. And I found this one priest who was, he's outside. He's talking to a bunch of women. He's telling them jokes. They're laughing at him. He's kind of a handsome, tan guy smoking a cigarette. And I think that's the priest because he looks like he's a pretty good guy, likes to have a laugh here and there. I asked for if he'd hear my confession, and he said, of course. We go through the whole thing. About 20 minutes later, he absolves me. And then he said, I think you have a vocation to be a priest. And I was just completely shocked. Like, I've never heard that before. No one's ever said that to me before. And I kind of just looked at him and said, that's probably not possible, but, you know, okay, thanks. And I just kind of made my way out of there. And he said, you know, all things are possible with God. And that was his parting word to me. So I stayed the week. I participated in everything that was going on. Mass twice a day, rosary, all three rosaries every day. But it's more than just that. It's an experience of your heart. It's hard to explain. Yeah. There's something that happens there that doesn't happen anywhere else on earth. Yeah. And when I came home, I had the conviction that I have to change my life. And that's the first time that it happened to me in my adult life ever. So I did. And I started participating in what she's asking for over there. She's asking to go to Mass. I started going every day because I had a church that was just a block or two from my office. They had nine daily Masses. Can you imagine that?
No.
Three before nine, three on lunch hour, three after five.
Wow.
And so I'm like, look, if I can't find a Mass with nine a day, then I'm an idiot. So doing that, praying the rosary while I walk to the office, praying the rosary, going home at night, going to confession monthly, trying to fast. Wasn't that easy. That was the hardest thing for me.
Yeah.
And reading the scriptures. I'm like, okay. And within about 2 months, I'm like this very good practicing Catholic again. And my life is so much more at peace, and I'm happy. I have the happiness I never really had. And that's when I get this spiritual director at Our Lady of Victory on Chase Plaza, a little old Polish priest. And he hears my story and he says, listen, you need someone to direct you because you're coming from, you know, somewhere way, way deep in the world and you're trying to get close to God and the enemy's going to try to block you. So I will help you. So I said, okay, great. So we meet, like, in the beginning, we met every week. And one of the things he said to me was, you need to start praying if God wants to do something different with your life. And I go, what do you mean? He goes, well, I don't think he really wants you to do this. I think he has a bigger plan for you. And I go, okay, so what should I do? And he goes, every day part of your prayer should be, do you want me to leave this world of banking and finance and do something else? So that's what I did. I mean, I was very literal the way I interpreted what I didn't pray longer than that. Lord, it's a new day. Do you want me to do something else in my life? I wait a few minutes. I don't hear anything. I go, okay. So after a week, I go back to Father Kostecki and I say, he didn't speak to me about changing my life. So I think I'm just going to stay doing what I'm doing. And he looks at me with great patience and he said, well, let's just recap quickly. So you left the church for 22 years, and then you came back, and then you prayed for a week if the Lord wants you to do something else, and he didn't answer you in a week, so you're giving up. And I said, well, I mean, like when you put it like that, it sounds so bad, but you know, but I did what you said. He goes, no, you got to keep going. So I prayed that prayer for a month, 6 months, a year. 18 months later, on November 5th of 2000, and it's a Sunday Mass. I go back at my home church where I grew up on Long Island, and I'm in the pew after communion, and a voice says to me, come follow me. and it's audible. It's outside my head. So I turn around to see who's speaking, and there's nobody like within the next 6-7 pews. And I kneel down again, and I think, oh my gosh, it's you. You're finally speaking to me. And I said, okay, I will follow you. I don't know where we're going, but I will follow you. And Monday I called in sick and took the day to pray about it, talked to my spiritual director, and then Tuesday I resigned.
Wow.
And that was that. That was the beginning of a very long journey. And, you know, me being kind of practical, I, you know, immediately put up some spreadsheets in my living room, wrote down all the religious orders that I could find that I thought were interesting, put up their charism and where they're located and the length it would take to be ordained. So, you know, Legionaries of Christ, 12 years. Nope, not doing a 12-year program. Dominicans, 12 years. Nope. So I immediately X'd off all the 12-year orders. And when it comes to, right down to it, really diocesan priest is probably the fastest track to getting ordained. So that I said, that's what I'll do. Mm-hmm. And I started out that way. And of course, I got turned down everywhere. I didn't know what I was doing. So I would set up these. First of all, I walked into the office of the Rockville Center Chancery. And I said, you know, is the vocations director here today? And she goes, yeah, he is, as a matter of fact. Let me just check and see if he's in help. So, oh, yeah, he is. Go ahead in. And I walk in, and it's the priest that married me. I'll never forget his face. He looked at me, and he goes, you think you have a vocation? No, you don't have a vocation. To the priest said, get out of here.
Wow.
And because, you know, he knew me. He knew me before the conversion. So I can't say he was wrong. I mean, he was wrong ultimately, but he didn't even give me a shot. And I just said, okay, that's that. And you know, that was one of the things I asked the Lord, please make it easy so I don't have to, right. I don't want to think about it. I want it to be easy.
Right.
Easy in a way that I don't have to worry about my own bad decision making. And that was easy. So you're definitely not called here. And long story short, you know, this path led me to religious life for 5 years as a contemplative hermit, praying in the woods of Nebraska. And don't you know, by the time I get ordained, it was 12 years. You know, the Lord, he just has a sense of humor.
Wow.
Because that was the one thing that kind of was my big item, like, we don't want to wait 12 years. Well, I did.
What's
so I eventually got ordained in 2014 for the Diocese of Nashville. A wonderful bishop, Bishop David Chobe. He invited me to Tennessee to meet me, and we got along real well. And he invited me to become a priest for him in this Diocese of Nashville. And I've never been happier my whole life.
Yeah, boy, that's something else. What's your ex-wife think today about you being a priest, an exorcist? Do you stay in touch with her at all?
I do not. You know, we didn't have kids, yeah. And there was no reason to. It wasn't like we were young, and it was all about fun and money and flying around.
Yeah, it was a different world, wasn't it, for you? I'm so glad you experienced that, lived through that, because, boy, you can minister in a powerful way to a lot of people. Father, stay with me. I'm going to take a short pause. When we come back, let's pick it up. I know you've had some encounters as well with alcohol. In an interview I heard you talk about, it said you encountered Satan twice, and one of them was there, a great temptation. So we can talk a little bit more about that. We'll also dive into a lot of other things. I know you've written about social media, its impact, and so many other things. So my guest today, Father Dan Rehill, and our conversation will continue right after this. Stay with me. Hey, looking for a new job? How about one that offers opportunities for spiritual, social, and charitable growth? Our sponsor, Catholic Order of Foresters, is hiring new agents today. Visit relevantradio.com/forester. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states.
I've been pretty blessed in my life. I've seen so many miracles. I mean, so many that I expect them now. I used to be a contemplative hermit, just pray in the woods with a group of hermits for the most of the day. And during that time, the Lord one day said to me, he said, the days are fast approaching when the extraordinary will seem ordinary. The extraordinary will seem ordinary, meaning like the miraculous will be so prevalent for what I'm going to do that it will start to seem ordinary.
Real faith, real talk. You're listening to The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
That's the voice of Father Daniel Rehill. He's a priest now in the Diocese of Nashville. And boy, he has an amazing, amazing story to share. It's so true. I mean, you take a look at the day and the age in which we live in, and just take a look at these reported apparitions that have taken place in every habitable continent. And they come today in an unprecedented fashion. Father was sharing part of his conversion story. If you missed part of it, take a listen to our podcast later today. Maggie will have the show up. But Medjugorje, it's a site of reported apparitions where the Blessed Mother began to appear in 1981 to six children. She came as the Queen of Peace and has imparted secrets to the children and ultimately a message of prayer and penance and conversion, a global message for all of us. The grace that flows in that place. First time I went there was in 1987. I've been there maybe 13, 14 times. It is quite profound. It's changed over the years from the very virginal, little parish that I encountered. But the grace is still there. I went over with a friend who was a drug addict at the time, young guy. Well, not really a drug addict. He was going to prison for something. He did a lot of drugs. He didn't want to go. His mom said, I'm not going to pay your court cases. I'm not going to pay your attorney's fees unless you go on this trip. So he happened to be on the same trip with me, and he wanted to find a bar. He wanted to hang out, didn't want to do anything. By the end of that trip, his heart had cracked just enough, and God's grace entered. He converted so radically, it was amazing. And you hear stories like that all the time. That's the fruit of this place. It's one of the great graces of this place. And Father Dan is one of those stories as well, a very successful banker who was rolling in the cash and in the high life, right, in a very different world that most may experience. And God called him from that, and even from marriage, from the marriage he was in, and to the priesthood. And Father, I know you and I were talking briefly during the break. Your story's not over. You took a pilgrimage back there. You traveled back to Medjugorje years later, right? Am I correct in that?
Yes. In fact, I've been back about 15 times.
When was your first trip, by the way? When was your first trip? What year was that?
1988.
Wow. So we were there around the same time. I went back in 88, too. That's amazing.
Yeah. And, I've been back about 15 times. I'm going back again next month on April 20th. I'm heading over again with another group. Anybody listening want to go? Hit Tecton Ministries and just say you want to get in on Father Dan's pilgrimage.
That sounds great.
It's amazing. It is amazing. And every time I've gone has been different, but no less extraordinary. It's every time there's a new gift, there's a new awakening, there's a new epiphany that God gives me to understand more deeply in his love. So it's just amazing. So I go back, this would be a few times later, as a priest, first time as a priest. So this is completely different because now I'm celebrating the sacraments there. The confession line.
Sure.
60 booths that have 20, 30 people deep waiting for confession. And so one day we book a trip to go on a pilgrimage outside of Medjugorje to a town about 30, 40 kilometers away from Medjugorje to go see this famous statue of Our Lady that you see in a lot of the pictures when you Google Medjugorje. It's this beautiful statue of Our Lady. It looks like Our Lady of Grace.
Yeah.
I guess the statue got tied to Father Yozo when he got moved out of there after the communists moved him, and they put him in a different parish, the Franciscans, to keep him out of the fray. So we went to go see the statue, and the tour guide says to me, we get there, the bus arrives, we get off the bus. She says, just wait a minute, because the pastor wants to greet everybody. I said, okay. And out walks the pastor from the rectory. And it's the priest who heard my confession, the first confession, that 22-year confession. And I recognize him right away because this was such a great impact on my life. But he's hearing 20, 30, 40 confessions every day for 20 years, because it's been 88, 98. It's been almost 20 years since I had that experience. And now I'm back as a priest. And I look at him And before I could say anything, he goes, "Oh, Lord, you became a priest."
Oh, my gosh.
And I go, "He knows me. How could he know me?" And I go, "You remember me?" He goes, "I've been praying for you."
Wow.
I said, "What?" And I said, so he says, "You must, after you have mass, come back and we will have coffee and we must talk." And we caught up, and, you know, it only God can wrap something up like that.
Yeah.
Where, you know, this one person I saw once and then never saw again for almost 20 years. And then that man is right in front of me, my first time back as a priest. I think as much to validate for him his prayers as it was for me to be able to thank him. So the miracles never cease. Yeah. Even these little ones that just, you know, close up. Tie the ribbon.
Yeah, you know, Father, I'm thinking he had to have mystical gifts. I mean, you don't remember somebody 20 years later that you heard in a confession line where literally he probably heard thousands upon thousands of confessions.
Absolutely,
during his time,
yes.
Then. So God must have really revealed that to him. That's pretty amazing. Hey, it what is. A great validation for you too, though. I mean, that's amazing. And you're right. In the clip we played coming into the break, you know, you talk about how you know, you would experience or see the miraculous. It would become very common to you. You know, in Medjugorje, rosaries turn gold, the sun spins. In my own travels, I've seen food multiply. I've seen incredible healings. I mean, so many different things that take place. What do you think is happening today in the world? I mean, why do you think God has sent the Blessed Virgin Mary at this particular moment? And what do you make of all this phenomena that seems so abundant now?
Well, first of all, she's on a rescue mission. This is a rescue mission because mankind is going so off the rails, and the rejection of God, I think, is at the most unprecedented level it's ever been. And, you know, you don't have to trust or believe in the Medjugorje messages, but, you know, if you do, just about 5 months ago, the message to the world, she said, sin is at a level that it has never been before since the creation of the world. You know, imagine the flood, worse than that.
Yep.
Sodom and Gomorrah, worse than that. And I think the reason for that, and this kind of goes back to the opening of your show, is because we've never had the ability to push out sin through mass communication until this generation.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you wanted to look at pornography, you had to sneak into the convenience store and pull up the magazine and go pay for it at the counter and then, you know, put it in your backpack and hide and go home. Now you just pull up your phone. And the social media, it's so aggressive in selling envy and anger and hatred. And so all of these things, I think, are moving man to a new level of sin that we've never seen. And the result of that, two things. One, the demons are empowered.
Yep.
So any exorcist will tell you right now, it's off the charts, the amount of work we're being thrown at us because they're so active. But two, where sin abounds, grace superabounds.
Yep.
And so God will not be outdone. In times of tremendous evil, he pours out extra graces to fortify, protect, and advance his people in holiness if they choose to cooperate. So this is the greatest time to be alive, in my opinion, if you want to be holy, if you want to be a saint. Because all you have to do is say, "Lord, choose me, I will go for you." And this enormous heavenly funnel gets put over your head, and these graces come down upon you. And it's in the darkest times that God has raised up the greatest saints, with the exception of the Blessed Mother, although that was probably a very dark time too.
Yeah, sure.
And has the ability to transform people quickly.
Yeah.
So we are living in these amazing, you know, partially terrifying, but amazing days.
Yep.
And in the end, we know God wins. And you know how he's going to do it? It's going to be through the triumph of the Immaculate Heart. And I believe we've not yet seen the era of the Holy Spirit. So we had,
I agree with that.
You know, probably a 2,000 year period devoted to the Father. And then we've had 2,000 years devoted to the Son.
Yep.
And now I think we're ready for this new global Pentecost, where that's when we will see the extraordinary becoming like the ordinary.
It's funny you say that. I totally agree with you. I think it's such a great insight. There was a mystic down in South America who I was a good friend with. Her name was Maria Esperanza. And she said the same thing. She said she saw a new Pentecost coming, a new springtime in the church. and that we were living on the threshold of something very great. And you take a look at what's, you know, there's a reason God has sent the Virgin Mary with unprecedented number of apparitions today. And St. Paul writes, you know, as evil rises, grace abounds all the more, of course. I think we're living in those critical moments. And I think, you know, with these consecrations to the Immaculate Heart, we're going to see something great take place. But where are we now in that journey? Is it going to get darker before the dawn?
I believe it will, because sadly, man doesn't wake up until God takes away his toy, so to speak. Yeah. And if you look at the history of the Jewish people, it's a playbook, and we're ignoring it. Not everybody, but sadly, our leaders, you know, look at our leaders. I've never seen a time when we have so many Catholic leaders in positions of power, and they're almost all going directly against God.
I could not agree
and
more.
How did that happen? Well, it was choreographed. It was choreographed. But this time we live in, we're going to see things get worse, because just like the Jews, when they turned away from God, he very politely said, if you want to leave me, I will let you go your way, but you won't have my protection, and we'll see how you fare without me. And of course, they 100% of the time they get crushed. Either they get conquered and beaten down, or pulled into exile, put into slavery. And I think time now, in some ways, is being accelerated to push us through quicker, because it will be painful. It will be painful. I think it'll be a compilation of natural disasters, the market collapsing, all sorts of things converging at one time, which will certainly get people's attention, and hopefully to the point where they would say, you know what, Lord, we've gone astray. We need to come back. Yeah. On a humanity level, not just a pocket here and there, but imagine if all of humanity together knelt down at one point in one day in history and said, Lord, we have sinned against you. We want to come back. Imagine what God would do.
Wow. It's amazing, isn't it? I was so happy to see Pope Francis consecrate the world and mention Russia by name in Ukraine. You know, we know when John Paul did that in 84, on March 25th, it took years before the Iron Curtain collapsed. It was another 5 years or so. But I'm expecting great things to happen. I'm a man of great hope. I mean, it's easy to take a look at the evil in the world, the wars, the rumors of wars, the natural calamities, the signs that are all around us. But in the end, as you point out, we have to be people of hope. In the end, good always conquers evil. And this stuff can get dark, and people can get very despondent and filled with fear, but that's really a tactic of the evil one as well. But I do look at how dark it can get. And you know, you're an exorcist. I saw what happened in Rwanda. Right in 1981, the visions began there. 1994, the civil war erupted, and there was genocide. You know, people hunted each other with machetes. It was horrific. I believed that was a demonic possession of a people. Can world leaders be possessed? Like, I worry about Xi Jinping or Putin or somebody who has nuclear weapons. Could we see Satan influence them, where, you know, the spark that is already ignited in Europe between Ukraine and Russia can become a conflagration, something even larger, because Satan is fomenting that. And our need to pray, our need to restrain it through the Immaculate Heart, I think that's all critical. I think we're all playing a big part in the spiritual dynamic that's at play. But your thoughts on that? I mean, how serious of a situation is something like that, and can these world leaders ultimately be influenced by Satan?
100%. They're people, just like you and me. And so they have the same struggles, probably worse, because when you get to a level of power at the top, at being a presidential figure or a prime minister, think of the level of pride that you have to conquer.
Oh, yeah.
To the degree that you are given great power is the degree that you have to exercise great humility. And I don't think we're seeing a lot of humility in the leaders of this world. And that is an open door for the devil. Pride is an open door. Anger, hatred, resentment, envy, all the capital sins are open doors if you let them. Listen, the first murder that ever happened on the planet, God said to Cain, basically, the sin is crouching at your door. You have to master it, you know, and he warned him. Yep. And of course, he went with his emotions and he killed his brother. So now put that on a grand scale with nations at stake. It's absolutely possible. I think Hitler probably was possessed, as were many of the other leaders, Stalin, the rest of them. But look at the division. You know, that's the calling card of the devil, division. Because the calling card of God, of course, is union. In his very being, he's a union of three persons. So when you see the level of division in our world, in our country, in our church, like, it's everywhere. And when I see that, I go, boy, he is having a heyday. He thinks he's winning, but he's not. Yeah. Ultimately, God's going to crush him, and he's going to use Our Lady and humiliate him through her. Yeah. Well, but we have to be a people of hope, 100%.
And I'm with you on that. I love your take on this, too, because I do feel that Satan's time is becoming short. I think Our Lady in Medjugorje even said that at one point in time. You know, he used to hide in the shadows, right? His greatest deception was that he did not exist. Now his fingerprints are all over the headlines, right? He's out there in the public. It's very clear. And we see this diabolic disorientation in the culture with what we're seeing with transgenderism take place, you know, the human sacrifice that takes place every single day, the pornography that is infesting the culture. When we come back, I'd love you to address that, if you could. I've got to take another short pause here, Father, if you don't mind.
Sure.
And we'll pick it up on the other side. If you want to get in, I only have a few moments left today with Father Dan Rehill, and you are more than welcome to join us. Number to get in, 888-914-9149. Our conversation will continue right after this.
Connecting you to the truths of your Catholic faith. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, looking for a new job? How about one that offers opportunities for spiritual, social, and charitable growth? Our sponsor, Catholic Order of Foresters, is hiring new agents today. Visit relevantradio.com/forester. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states.
So 100 years ago even, they didn't have to contend with any of this stuff. None of it.
And the portal to hell on the phone, the main one that the people write into my show about all the time, that I suspect has a lot to do with the kind of weird demonic activity we see. It's porn.
Yes, that's the true pandemic.
Life as you've never heard it. You're listening to The Drew Mariani Show.
Yeah, that is, that's a portal. That is a danger. And we are living in special times. There is a great attack on family and on life. I often quote, you know, this, Our Lady of Fatima, not even Our Lady of Fatima, Sister Lucia in her interview with Cardinal Caffara in 85, saying that the final confrontation will be over family and marriage, right? And of course, as a byproduct of that is life. And we see that. And how's Satan doing it? I mean, you see this disorientation we have right now when it comes to gender ideology. We see the breakdown of the family. We see the murder of the children. We also see such a powerful tool, the tool of pornography, how it gets in and it twists and it distorts. I had the opportunity to listen to Father Dan Rehill recently, and he talked a little bit about this. And gentlemen, if you're concerned about your sons, stay away from pornography. You know, you don't understand the impact that this has in terms of allowing other demons. Father, you said that demons kind of run in packs, and you shared a great story about pornography in this one interview I heard, where you mentioned, you know, a lot of religious, you know, who they can sense when somebody kind of falls, you know, with a certain impurity, because everybody gets attacked. And the same thing happens, I would assume, within the family. You know, you don't want your kids dealing with this as well. But speak to pornography, if you could, because it's not just an epidemic. It's a pandemic. It's global, and it is changing everything from relationships to sexual appetites to orientation.
Yeah, it is the real plague. And it's deadly, because this is something that can steal your place in heaven. You know, it's one thing to lose your life on earth, but to lose your place in heaven is far greater. And anybody who hears confessions, any priest who hears confessions will tell you, this is the scourge on mankind right now. Mm. It's not just men. It's women, too, yeah. Which is surprising, but it's also a problem for women. And why? Why would this happen? Because purity, the essence of holiness lies in humility and purity and obedience. look at the Blessed Mother. Those are her three benchmarks that she's so shines so brilliantly out to the world. And purity is under attack. So when God created man and woman and created the act of sexual union to produce children, I would say this is the second holiest thing that happens on the planet after the Mass. So the Mass is the most. And then the act of coming together, because man cannot create. Man can build, but he can't create. Only God creates. And God gives us the great, incredible gift of participating in creation through this act. And it's supposed to be a holy act. And it's supposed, and he, of course, he made it pleasurable so that we would participate in it and want to come together. But it has to be under the right circumstances. And so the devil has taken this beautiful gift from God, and he has twisted it, and he has maligned it, and he has made it into something that's revolting. I mean, the pornography that is produced is not just sex. It's demeaning. It's violent. It's doing things that are just go against the human person. And why? Because he hates God. He can't get to God, though, but he can get to his children. So he entices the children of God, us, to sin in this way, which is so vile to the what the purpose was created for, which was to bring forth new life. And remember, this is not a life that will ever end. These little people have souls that will live forever, for eternity. So man and woman are creating a person who will be forever in eternity. There's nothing greater except the Mass.
Yeah, let's take a few calls for you if you want to join us. Our number is 888-914-9149. Leo in Front Royal, Virginia. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Marriage, actually what is happening in looking at pornography is you're stealing the marital privilege of the person you're looking at.
All right. Well, Leo, thank you very much. That's your only comment? Father, you can speak to that, but also speak to what happens when one engages, what it does within the household. I mean, you kind of throw open the proverbial doors and you allow other demonic spirits in through pornography. Other exorcists have talked to this, spoken to me about this and said it's kind of a portal. And I'm not here to scare people. Confession easily will remedy this. Sacramentals are important, but speak to what it does, you know, outside, you know, in terms of what you let in, how vulnerable you make yourself and your family.
Okay. So a couple of things. Lust is a capital sin. So these seven capital sins, what capital means is they're like a kingpin and they control other sins, but also demons. So there's seven capital sins, seven capital demons. The demon of lust has other demons that go with it. And so if there's a dad in a house who's actively engaged in pornography and masturbation, he's inviting these spirits in just through doing that. And suddenly, you know, you've got little Johnny who's 5 years old, and these things are now roaming into his room and poking at him at night. And creating all sorts of problems in his evening, trying to get through the night. If a dad knew that, if a dad saw a guy coming up to the front door with a big axe trying to break in the house, he would take out his gun and he would defend his family. Yeah. But the most people don't know that when they open doors to things like pornography and using sex in the wrong way, they're opening a door for the demons to come right into your home, and you can't stop them with a door. You got to stop them with virtue and with the sacraments and with prayer. So don't, if you thought your children were being harmed, would you ever do that? No, they wouldn't. No. Yeah. And usually when I tell them that in the confessional, they look horrified I hear them horrified because I can't see them. And they go, I didn't know that. Nobody ever told me that. And then I will tell them a story of how living in religious life, when one guy falls, how we all kind of feel the effects of that. It's real. And, you know, especially the father, because there are graces that go to the family through the father that only go through the father. And similarly, if the father's participating in things that are unhealthy for the family, he's going to cut off the graces that were meant for the family because he is actively engaging in something that's shutting them down. Yeah. So, yeah, there's a whole system at work here of God's providence trying to reach his people, but You got to be cooperating with the grace. You can't be rejecting it and thinking you're just getting away with it.
Yeah, that's
so true. What most people tell me about those sins. Well, they're my private sins. It's not hurting anybody. Well, first of all, it is, because it's hurting you. By you engaging in the pornography, you're basically promoting it, and you, the people who make it are continue to make it if you continue to eat it up. So all those poor women and men, by the way, whoever, they might be trapped in that lifestyle. They don't want to be there. So yeah. They have a dignity that is not being expressed.
I know that Our Lady is a powerful symbol of virtue, but Saint Joseph, who we talked about, or I've spoken about a little bit earlier, it comes under that beautiful title, The Terror of Demons. I understand in the confessional, for a man that is struggling with pornography, you recommend turning to Saint Joseph or devotion to him. What do you recommend to men who are struggling with this right now, and what role does Saint Joseph today play in that?
Yeah, 100%. Joseph is the terror of demons. True, he's also the guardian of purity.
Yep.
Because Our Lady is purity incarnate. And he's tasked, just like she's the mother given to the whole church as our mother, he is sort of our foster father, that he has special powers reserved only for him to raise up Jesus, the body of Christ, and now the mystical body of Christ. Turn to Joseph, or I should say, go to Joseph. If you look at the Old Testament scripture, it says, go to Joseph. You can Google a consecration prayer of St. Joseph. There's a memorare to St. Joseph. Yeah. I pray them every single day for me and all those entrusted to me. And it was Father Don Callaway that told me about this. He was getting all sorts of letters when he wrote the book, The Consecration, about all these men who, 20-year addiction to pornography suddenly broken from doing the consecration.
Wow.
Yeah, there's grace is available.
Father, let me sneak a call in. We have a couple minutes left. Joe's in Florida, and he's battled addiction to pornography for a half a century. Joe, you're on the air with Father Dan Rehill. Good afternoon.
Hi, Joe.
Good afternoon, guys. Hey Father. I think it started around 12 or 13.
So you've been battling this for 50 years, Joe? So
yes. In the very beginning, it was the prostitution also.
Yeah.
And then the pornography took off. And then when all this technology came in, it's like a bear trap just closed in on me. So,
Are you Catholic, Joe?
Yeah, I'm Catholic. I've been begging. Yeah. I am Catholic, yeah. But when you say you have to cooperate with the grace, what does that mean?
It means when you go to confession, and so the first thing you need to do is go to confession and have the sin removed, and then the penalties will come with the graces to do your penance, right? From that day on, you're being given special grace to overcome the sin. But the minute that you the first thought in your head to go look at the computer, that's that moment you have to say, no, I'm not doing it. And it's there for you, but you have to do it. Because once you give in, then it's like sand going out of an hourglass. The more that time you wait, the less grace there is available to help you. So you got to overcome it. The other thing I say is go on the offensive.
Yeah.
Say to Jesus, I'm being tempted. I need your help. Take this temptation, turn it into grace, and go rescue 100 other men about to commit this sin. Then you're taking back territory. The devil will hate you, but eventually he will leave because he'll go to somebody weaker.
Explain that prayer very quickly. That's a great prayer to free one from affliction, isn't it? From diabolic attack.
It's a cross, basically. So if we're part of the mystical body, we have the ability to take our cross, unite it to his cross, the cross, and ask him to convert it to grace to rescue souls.
Yeah,
he will do it. And not only will it set you free, but you'll be helping others. So it's very powerful.
Father, I got to leave it right there. Thank you for your ministry. I'll have you back. We've only scratched the surface.
Okay.
I'm so grateful for your ministry. I hope people will check you out and travel with you, and we'll talk soon, okay? I'm out of time for the day.
Thank you.
Until next time, remember, God loves you, and so do I. Have a good day.